This is the New Life Rancho Vista podcast. We are a church committed to loving God, growing together, and serving others. Our prayer and desire is that this message from our campus pastor, Peter Moore, will be a help and an encouragement to you, regardless of where you are in your relationship with Jesus. So let's open our hearts and minds as we turn our attention to the incredible truths God has for us today.
There's a lot of people who've talked about Jesus. They've talked a little bit about what they think he is or who they thought he was. So there've been a lot of pundits about Jesus. But you know what's incredible to me is every time I sit down with a young adult or someone who says, I don't believe that Jesus was God, and I just say, have you ever read the words of Jesus? And 9 times out of 10, many of them will say, no, I've never really read what he said. I've just heard and I've, watched videos and I've kind of read about him. But it's really powerful to sit down and actually read the words of Jesus. And I want to encourage you to pick up a Bible. If you don't have a Bible, we have one for you today. And the Bibles that we have and the Bibles that you can get on your app, a lot of them will have the words of Jesus in red. And I would encourage you just to read through the first books of the New Testament, the first 4 collections of the New Testament, and just read those words in red. It will be a life-changing experience for you. Because when we come to Jesus and what he said, we realize that no man spoke like this man. No man gave what this man gave. No man loved like this man loved. Jesus truly was everything he said he was. And today we're going to look at how Jesus still is the light of the world. And I want you to take your Bibles if you would, if you have them. If not, then we've given you some notes in your worship guide. Go ahead and open up your worship guide. How many of you need a worship guide? Raise your hand. You say, I didn't get the notes. I didn't get the worship guide. Go ahead and raise your hand. I'll make sure to get them to you. The ushers will help me with that. Man, the ushers are doing a great job today. And thank you so much. So John chapter 8. And if you remember right, the introductory message to the series a few weeks ago, we talked about how Jesus is everything, and we specifically talked about how Jesus said that he was the ego eimi, he was the I am that I am, and he said before Abraham was, I am. That's at the end of this chapter that we're about to read. We're not going to read the whole thing, we're going to read a little snippet of it, and I'm going to talk about how that fits in with him saying before Abraham was, I am. Remember, Jesus is everything. He defines everything we are. He is everything we need, and he's everything we're not. And so he was telling this group of Israelites, these Jews there in Israel, he was saying, I know you identify everything with Abraham, but I want you to start identifying with me because Abraham was the way that I came. He was literally the start of this nation so that I could come and be your Savior. So we believe here at New Life what the Bible says, and that is that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And so we're going to talk about how he dwelt among us, and the way that he describes it is that he is the light of the world. And so let's look at these verses. I'm going to start in verse number 12. We're going to get right into it right out of the gate. And verse number 12 of that's fine. We're good with that. I don't need it right now, but thank you. Verse number 12 of John chapter 8, and it says, Then spake Jesus again unto them, and said unto her, said unto them, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Can we read that all together because we're going to break that verse down in the message today, and I want to really get the words of Jesus in our heart. Start with I am, and then we'll read down to the end of the verse. Ready? Begin. I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Let's pray. God, we want to have the light of life. We want to have you as the light of our life. And Lord, we cannot have understanding and enlightenment on our own. Lord, for centuries we have tried as men who've tried to figure out things on our own. And Lord, we fail every single time we do it on our own. But God, you said we don't have to. You said that you are the light and that you can bring understanding to and clarity to everything we complicate. Would you please bring some understanding and clarity to our hearts today? Would you use this time around your word as a time of just refreshing enlightenment to bring the light to maybe a part of our hearts that has been darkened, or maybe, Lord, to shed light on an area where, Lord, it was really confusing before and now it's super clear. Lord, would you please be with us, meet with us now. Holy Spirit, we desire your presence. You promised to bring your presence when we ask. We're meeting here not on our own accord, but for you. We pray that you'll please do a work. In Jesus' name, amen. Everyone has something that they're trying to figure out. And some of us, okay, try to get some help. Some of us don't. Sometimes we think that we have something figured out all on our own, and it just doesn't go very well. This week, our house has a mounted microwave, and it's been slowly breaking, and it's been like creeping up on my honeydew list, you know, like the handle broke, okay, super glue. The bottom kind of started falling off. Okay, new screws. Finally, we went to Lowe's and we just bought another one. And the lady said, "Do you want to purchase the installation?" And I said, "No." I mean, I didn't even ask her how much it was. It's like, "No, I can put it in. You know, how hard can it be, right?" And so sure enough, I took it out of the box and I looked at it and it looked pretty straightforward. In fact, this whole assembly took two screws. So I'm thinking two screws, literally, you hang it up there, put the two screws in, it's done. Taking the other one out was a piece of cake. It was about to fall anyway. So it literally just kind of like fell into my arms, took it out to the garage, and I went to go put the other two in. When I started to drill the screws into the top, I noticed it wasn't like grabbing, and I noticed when I was drilling the screws in, it was pushing it down, and I wanted it to grab and kind of pull the whole microwave up, and it just didn't. And then I realized that the holes didn't match up and that I was going to have to drill new holes. And so literally a two-screw project took me over 4 hours. And that's not something I'm happy to admit, but it is something that was true. And I realized that, you know, there's some things that were in the box that probably would have helped me to know that they wouldn't have matched up. And there were these actual diagrams that you pull out, and it was like foolproof. You know, these guys are probably laughing as they put it in the box, like, who would ever mess this up? You know, you just literally paste it on there, drill the holes, and you're good. But I was, you know, figuring it out on my own, and so I had to drill literally 5 or 6 different holes. There's a perforated section of our cabinets now. And I'm telling you, it was so much frustration. Finally, the project is complete, and we can now warm up our hot pockets and other things. I tell you that because I truly believe that some of you in here have been trying your hardest to figure out who Jesus is, and not everything's lining up for you. And you're trying to look at your past, you're trying to look at, you know, what's culture saying, and what does my family say, and what you know, what do I think? And you're looking at it all and you're trying to piece it all together, and you've drilled so many holes into Scripture and so many holes into your faith that you just aren't really sure if it will grab. And it's kind of falling apart, to be honest with you. And what I'd like to do today is I'd like to take out that diagram, and I'd like to kind of put it in front of you and show you that there is a pattern that Jesus said. And he said, I'm not hiding the light, I'm not hiding truth, I'm not hiding understanding from you. I'm actually giving it to you, and I'm actually going to tell you that I'm the pattern, I'm the diagram, I'm the light of the world, and if you want light, then just follow me. And so we look at this passage of Scripture, and we have to ask a few questions. And by the way, just an introduction, I have to tell you that these questions that I had were questions that I believe people have had for centuries about the specific passage. Because when Jesus says, I am the light of the world, the people around him don't say, oh, wow, teach us. Oh, wow, I have a question. Well, what about the light? They ignore his comment. You see, they had been waiting for him to make a self-claim. I put in your notes John 5. John 5, I believe, he tells in John 5, 31, he says, if I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. He said, if I ever make a self-claim, it's not going to be true because I don't make self-claims. I'm from God. I'm sent from God. And so they were waiting for him to make a self-claim. They were documenting everything he said. See, his first self-claim, I'm the bread of life, happened in Galilee. This happened several dozen miles below Galilee in Judea. And he's making a self-claim, so they were ready. They said, oh, you're back and you want to make a self-claim? So they said, in verse number 13, I want you to see it. The Pharisees said, thou bearest record of thyself, and thy record is not true. They were repeating the words of Jesus back to him, like good lawyers. Well, didn't you say? Didn't you tell us the last time you were with us? And they think, oh, we got him. We got him. He's making a self-claim. And Jesus looked right back at them and said, I am not making this claim of myself, and by your court of law. So he knows they're using legal jargon with him. He said, by your court of law, there can be two witnesses. I'm a witness of this, that I'm the light of the world, and my father is a witness of this. And they said, who's your father? And Jesus says, gotcha. You don't know my father. You don't know God. You don't know that I'm from God. Jesus turns the tables and says, listen, I am the one that is going to give you understanding. And you can try to see what's wrong with me, but why don't you try to look and see what's right with me? A lot of people approach Jesus trying to figure out, in the Bible and in church in general, trying to figure out what's wrong with Jesus, what's wrong with the church, rather than saying, hey, is there something good here? Is there something right that I can figure out and maybe something that might help me? And so let's look through these verses or through this verse and understand what he was saying when he said, I am the light of the world. Now, we talked about this at Bible study, I don't have time to get in depth this morning, but the reason he was saying he was the light of the world at that moment, at that point in time, he's just told a lady who was caught in the act of adultery. He told her, you know, hey, where are your accusers? They were nowhere to be found because Jesus was writing their sins in the dirt, and they took off. And so here he is. He says, go and sin no more. He gives her grace. And then he turns around and he says this statement, kind of, really, not kind of, it's out of the blue. It's completely, go and sin no more. He turns around and says, I am the light of the world. And I pondered that. Why is that so out of the blue? And then I started to realize when he said this. He said this at the end of the Feast of the Tabernacles. And the Feast of the Tabernacles for the Jews was remembering how Jesus, or how God had brought them out of the land of Egypt, and they would literally live in tents to remember that they had their forefathers had lived in tents, and they would light these massive menorahs and they had massive torches at the end, and it would be, you know, you could see it from miles away, and so it was this massive light show with this incredible 9-day event. Okay, that rivaled our Christmas, really. I mean, it was just this, everything shut down. Even to this day, everything shuts down, and it's just an amazing event. And at the end of that event, they will take the big torches and they will extinguish the menorah. They will extinguish the flame at dawn. And many scholars believe that Jesus was standing there in the temple. I think we have a picture of the temple from a couple weeks ago. He was standing in the temple when he said this. Of course, that's what John tells us. And he's standing there with these massive torches that are being extinguished. And he turns around after everyone's kind of like, oh, the light show, it's done. You know, the fireworks are gone. You know, we have to take down the Christmas tree. You know, that feeling, okay? So they're kind of like, okay, it's over now. Let's go home. Show's over, you know? And Jesus stands up and says, wait a second. These lights are pointing to me. These lights are saying that I will come and I'm here. I'm here to guide you as the pillar of fire guided your ancestors in the wilderness. I am here to guide you. I'm here to give you the understanding that you seek. And so he understands that this is a moment for them to see him as the promised light. In Isaiah 49, it talks about how Jesus will be the light to the nations. And we know that Jesus was fulfilling that prophecy by standing up and making this claim that he was the light of the world. And there are a couple truths that I want you to get about this statement, Jesus being the light. And I want to show them to you from this verse. Number one, I want you to see the first truth is that light gives sight. Jesus was using the metaphor of light because light gives sight. Light is the way that we see. Without light, if this was a completely black, dark auditorium, there would be no light, there would be no color, there would be nothing because the light is not revealing it to us. So we literally can see because there is light. Light gives sight. And because Jesus is the light, it means that our spiritual sight, that our spiritual perception is possible. And that's letter A, is that our perception spiritually is possible. And I've had many people say, it's not possible. You know, I've said, do you know that Jesus is the way to heaven? Or do you believe in Jesus? Or are you 100% sure that you're on your way to heaven? I'll say those things to say, you know, do you believe that Jesus is a way? Or any one of those things. And they'll say, well, wouldn't that be good? That's not possible. And I'm just here to say that perception is possible. Spiritual perception, perceiving whether or not you have the light of the world inside your life and illuminating the things that are dark in this world, it is possible to perceive that. And so there are many people in this world who are scared at the thought of dying and scared at the thought of even thinking about it. And in reality, it's not a scary proposition at all when you understand that we can see the invisible through eyes of faith. Perception is possible when Jesus is making all things known to you through his words and through his life. Jesus makes everything clearer for the believer. And so to illustrate this point, there's a group of young adults who are going around and they'll walk across a crosswalk and they will step over what the driver thinks is an obstacle, but they're not stepping over anything. Watch, this is kind of become a trend. So he's just on his merry way, you know. So of course the driver's going to think, okay, well, what was that? Like, why did he have the need to? Here she's getting out, and she's looking, and she's like, what was that? There's cars behind them. There's no sound, but I'm sure they're honking. If it's California, they're honking. And there's several of these videos that basically some people like are looking under their car, you know, like asking people to come, like, do you see anything? Am I going crazy? You know. And the bottom line is there's this fear in all of us that we're missing something. There's this fear in all of us that someone sees something that we don't see, that someone knows something that we don't know. And that fear is built in by God because God wants us to want him, to want to know him, to want to understand the way he created us to live. And so Jesus is our source for perceiving everything accurately. But our choice is, will we perceive life through him and by him, or will we try to perceive life on our own? So there's three choices we all make, and everyone is making one of these three choices right now. The first choice, there in your notes, we can complicate God's understanding. And religion, for years, even during Jesus' time, they are, and I say they because I do not clump myself with them, they are constantly complicating the gospel and overcomplicating the truth of God's word. You see, the reality is the Bible that you hold in your hands, the Bible that I'm preaching from today, can be summed up in one statement. And that one statement is in your notes. I want you to look at it. That one statement is that Jesus transforms darkness into light. Can we say that together? Jesus transforms darkness into light. Every scripture, every person, everything said in the Bible points to the fact that Jesus will one day transition dark, complete darkness into complete light. That transition process is happening right now. It is not complete. We see darkness all around us, but we know that one day he will come and he will conquer Satan, the one that is spreading the darkness. He will come and he will bring the end of time, and he will make a world that is corrupt, a world that is broken with disease, a world that he did not design, by the way, broken. He designed it perfect in man's sin. That sin brought darkness, but Jesus brought salvation. Jesus brought life. Jesus brought a way out of the darkness by giving his life. So we can't complicate that, church. We can't decide that it's, you know, Jesus plus good works. We can't decide that it's Jesus plus, you know, I have to, you know, keep up an image. It's Jesus plus. It's Jesus plus nothing equals everything. There's nothing we need to add to Jesus. Jesus was enough. We just need to trust in him. And so we can complicate it. And the fact of the matter is, for centuries, people have been complicating this. But, you know, the first few verses of the Bible really explain the rest of the Bible very, very well. And a lot of people just miss this, but I want you to notice the first few verses of Genesis chapter 1. This is the first few verses. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, "Let there be light," and there was light, and God saw the light, and it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. You know, Jesus was there when this creation happened. All things were created by Jesus, John 1 says, and without him was not anything made that was made. You know, Jesus was here when light was given, and Jesus was here when the earth was without form. Jesus was here when the earth was without purpose. Jesus was here when the earth was without void, when it was empty. And friend, Jesus will always be there no matter how empty you feel. No matter how much purpose you lack, no matter how much darkness is in your life, Jesus is there. And you know what he wants to do? He wants to speak life. He wants to speak light into your life. He wants to speak purpose. He wants to speak fullness, as we talked about last week. Jesus is everything you need. So let's not complicate it. Number two, we can contradict it. And there will always be those that will contradict God's understanding, God's way of doing things. But then number three, and there's many of us in this room, and I hope that you will all be those who will collect God's understanding. You know, if there's one thing I've found that's inherent in every boy collects something. Have you ever noticed that? I mean, now, other than you know, gross things like boogers and things. I'm talking to like an actual collection, okay? And Camden has many of those collections. My 8-year-old has many of those collections going on. Chandler, by the way, collects chaos. Anyway, in other news, they're always collecting something. And that's our inherent nature, is try to collect. But you know, as Christians, we should be on a passionate pursuit to collect the truth and understanding of God's word. And that's why discipleship and learning and growing in small groups and all of those things are so important. And many times we get so focused on our circumstances that we miss the truth. We get so focused on the problems that we miss God's promises. And friends, sometimes we miss God in the mayhem because we're focusing more on the darkness than we are on the light. And so we need to take our eyes off the darkness for a second, take our eyes off the news app for a second, take our eyes off Facebook for a second, and just look to Jesus and say, what did he promise? What did my creator say? Come back to the light. And so perception is possible. And letter B, perception is not just possible, but I want you to see that reflection is wonderful. Reflection is wonderful. It says that I am the light of the world. And then it says these words, he that followeth me. Can we say that together? He that followeth me. So he was saying, I am the light, but in order to have that light, in order to share that light, you must reflect what I'm doing. You must follow me. Isn't that what he said to every person he encountered on earth? Follow me. Follow me. Just come after me. Do what I do. Do as I say. I am the one that's showing you the way you were designed to live. Jesus is not just our way of seeing. He is our pattern for living. When I was in college, my wife introduced me. We were walking on a date, and she introduced me to this gallery, this Thomas Kincaid gallery. And we walked in. We were just kind of looking around, and I'm sure the owner of the shop, you know, thought we were casing the place or something. You know, he didn't even come over and try to greet us. But he was telling us about this man, Thomas Kincaid, and he was describing the fact that he was the painter of light, the master of reflection in paintings, and he described how, you know, Thomas Kincaid with a brush could make a painting look like it was alive. And as many of you know, he's since passed on, but his paintings are all around the world. And one of the things I noticed, and I asked the guy, I said, how come, you see these little letters? And I said, what, you know, does it spell something? And he said, well, it's actually only one letter. It's the letter N, because his wife's name was Nanette. And he said, so every painting that he did, he would write a number in the bottom right-hand corner, and he would say, that is the number of N's that you can find in the painting. Well, that ruined me. Because I literally, every time I see a Thomas Kincaid, I'm like looking at the number, and I'm like, okay, one, I found that. Hey, come over here, help me out. More eyes, come on, gather in. I can't find the last one. You know, literally, I don't even look at the type of painting or, man, that's beautiful. It's like, where are the ends, you know? And you know what? I really believe that that's what we do when we come to God's word and when we come to the scriptures and the light of the world is we start light inspecting rather than light reflecting. And we miss the beauty of the light of who Jesus is because of the technicality of someone else who's not keeping his word or someone else who's living in darkness. And Jesus in verse number 15 says, hey, listen, I'm not here to judge you. I'm here to provide a way of escape for you. The judgment will come one day, but right now I'm just giving you the light. And you know, we need to be a little more like that. We need to be a little less judging sinners and helping sinners get to Jesus. We need to be a little less being the judge and jury of everyone who might or may not be walking in the light, and just say, listen, I have one responsibility, and that is to walk in the light of who Jesus is. And so I'm going to do a little less inspecting and a little more reflecting. May we reflect the light of Jesus. It's kind of hard to love the light when you're always complaining about the darkness. And only those who follow Jesus can have them as their light. There's a lot of people who aren't following Jesus, aren't living the way that Jesus said to live, and yet claim to have the light. And so may we walk in the light as children of the light, as Paul said in Ephesians 8. So light gives sight. But then finally today, and we're almost done, I want you to see that not only does light give sight, it gives literal sight, but it also gives spiritual sight. Sight to the blind. But it also, it not only gives sight, but I want you to see that light gives life. Now, I want to be careful because we're going to talk all about life, the fact that Jesus is the resurrection and the life next week. But I have to tell you that this verse is very clear that if you follow Jesus, if you subscribe to his understanding, his wisdom, that he is not just the light that helps you know things. He is the light that gives you eternal life. And beyond eternal life, he's not just the light that gives you eternal life once. He is the light that gives life for every single day. Every moment where you feel something has died or is ruined, he gives life. Now I'm going to need someone to turn off the heat. Otherwise, I'm going to need some life after this service here. So if they could go ahead and turn the heat off, that would be awesome as well. It's like 40 degrees warmer up here. I swear it is. So just go with me on that. Jesus was described as the light of the world. When the book of John first opens, it says, "All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." You know, one author I read this week said, "Dead people can't see because they don't know they're dead." And we have a world full of wonderful people who don't comprehend the fact that Jesus is the only way to understand their field, to understand their problems, to understand their family, to understand their marriage. And see, we're blinded to the fact that we're blinded. We're blinded to our pride. We're blinded to our ignorance. We're blinded until we come to Jesus and say, "I know that I'm blind and I need to see, so please give me the life that I need from you." And so light gives life where there's death. And how does this happen? Well, he describes that you will not walk in darkness, but you'll walk in light. And so he says, this is what the process is of going from blindness to sight, from going from death to life. Here's the process, and here's what it is. Letter A, Jesus reveals. He reveals, it's supposed to say what is concealed, I'm sorry. So cross out revealed and say concealed. He reveals what is concealed. He reveals it. So whatever we conceal, whatever we hide, whatever we put in darkness, whatever the Holy Spirit puts in darkness, or whatever the Holy Spirit shines its light on as darkness, okay, all of that is concealed. And Jesus says, "I want to bring you out of that darkness, that concealing, and bring you into light." Someone once said, "Secrets are the darkness where death and destruction grow." Jesus said, "Listen, if I judge, my judgment is true. For I am not alone, but my Father has sent me." He's saying, "Listen, if I wanted to judge you, I know every secret in your heart. I know everything about you. If I judged you, first of all, you wouldn't want me to judge you right now. You would not want me to judge you." I heard about a brand new lawyer who stood up to give a prosecuting lawyer who stood up for the first time to cross-examine a witness. And he walked up to the witness and he had known the lady a long time. This was Mississippi. Everyone knew everyone. Everyone, frankly, was probably related to everyone back then. But anyway, let's just keep moving. So he stands up and he wanted to give her a simple question. He said, "Do you know me?" You know, like, "Oh, yes, of course, okay, let's move on." And she said, "Yes, I know that when you were in third grade, you burned down your garage, and I know that when you were in high school, You kicked my cat. And I know that when you were in college, you had a drug problem. And I know that after college, you got married, but then you cheated on your wife. And I know that after, and she went on for 5 minutes. The guy was stunned. And so he just sat down. And he said, well, do you know that lawyer? And she said, well, as a matter of fact, I do. And I happen to know he's twice as worse as you. And she started listing his sins. I was told this is a true story. The judge called both lawyers to the bench and said, now listen, I don't know what's going on here, but if either one of you ask her if she knows me, I'm out of here. Listen, when Jesus said, hey, you don't want me to judge you. You don't want me to judge you because I know you. You know, a lot of people stay away from church because they know that God knows them. Deep down inside their heart, they know that God knows the sin. They may even believe that some people in the church know their sin. But here's what they forget. They forget the fact that Jesus knows you the most, and he knows you the best, but he still loves you the most and loves you the best. And my friend, Jesus knows you, but he loves you. And he in grace can look past that sin and say, I don't judge you. I just told a woman that was caught in the act of adultery, where are your accusers? Neither do I accuse you. Go and sin no more. You know why? Because all those men with the stones about to stone you, they're not the light. They're not the judge. They're not the standard. But there is one that will judge, and it is Jesus Christ. But when he came to earth and he was the light, he was saying, listen, my judgment isn't yet. Right now is time for grace. Right now is time for me to reveal who I truly am to you. You see, sin separates us from the light of life. It is what brings darkness. And when the light of life shows the sin in our heart, then we know we need Jesus. We know we need a Savior. And the darker this world gets, we need to understand that our broken world will only be brighter the closer we get to the light. We must get closer to the light. We must share the light with others. I read a story recently about a few nights before Normandy, there was a raid that was being taken place off of the coast of France. And I don't remember all the details. You can look it up because it was the only time when our entire Navy had completely gone dark. In fact, they had gone so dark that no one in the U.S. actually knew where the ships were. And so there were these aircraft carriers that had no, they were way out in the ocean. There were no transmitters. There were no, nothing. And at night, they had all made an oath that no one would shine one light. In fact, they rubbed the shine off their buttons. They were serious about staying hidden. The problem was the raid went wrong. And the pilots did not make it back to the aircraft carrier until it was completely pitch black dark. And so these men were calling into the center of the ship. They were calling in, and a brief whisper said, "No light." And they said, no, you have to turn on something. We need to land. We're almost out of fuel. And another whisper came back. No light. They pleaded. They all pleaded. They said, we're almost out of fuel. We don't know where to land. We can't land in enemy territory. In fact, we don't have enough gas to go back to the area. We know the coordinates are here. We know we're close, but just someone turn on a flashlight and lay on the deck, just something to guide us in. And the whisper came back, I'm so sorry, but we cannot turn on a light. And history records those seven pilots who gave their life for our freedom. and who tried to land in the water, but it was impossible. And the cold Atlantic Ocean took their lives, all because they were trying to find the light and they couldn't. And friend, I want you to know that there's people all around you who are just calling out. They don't know they need Jesus. They don't know they need the light, but they are calling out. They're crying out. Teenagers are crying out with their actions, and they may seem like they're rebellious, but they're really just saying, I just need light. I need understanding. I need someone to care enough to say, this is the direction, this is the way. And friend, we have a very important week this week. We have a week where people are expecting us. Let me say that again. People are expecting us to tell them about Easter services. We went yesterday to the egg hunt at the City of Palmdale, at the amphitheater right across the street here, and the city allowed us to pass out flyers. We passed out over 3,000 flyers for Easter Sunday, and I had so many people say, wow, oh, that's awesome. We were hoping that we could go somewhere for Easter Sunday. My friend, we have a moment to share the light, but that moment will pass. We must share the light of life with our broken world. And then finally, and we're finished, letter B, he doesn't just reveal what's concealed. He renews what's revealed. He renews it. And I can't explain this, friend, but I will tell you by personal experience, he will renew something that's revealed in your life, a sin, a problem, a weakness. He will renew it if you'll let him. To where after you're renewed, it's better than even before. Friend, Jesus can bring you life like no one else can bring you life. And next week, we're going to talk about the difference between our life, bios, and God's life, God's version of life, zoe. And I believe it'll be a life-changing thing, not just for those who come and don't know Jesus as their Savior, but I believe it'll be a life-changing thing for every person in this room. It has completely changed the way I view living my life. And I really believe this, that we get tricked into thinking that if we shine the light on an area, that it will bring more darkness. Isn't that a crazy lie we tell ourselves? That if we go get help, that other people will think that we have darkness inside of our hearts. Friend, everyone's heart in this room is dark. Everyone needs light, and everyone needs to stop acting like we don't have darkness, like we don't need light. We need to all come and gather around the light and say, we need more of it. Please, let's get together. Let's pray together. Let's work together to get the light inside of our hearts and to be the ones that are sharing the light. You see, David said, the Lord is my light, my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? And Jesus is not only the solution to darkness, he's the source of life. And we must come to him. We must come to him as the light of life. Jesus is not just the light of the world. Friend, he wants to be the light of your world. He wants to be the light of your world. And so as we close today, I just want to encourage you. Would you make this personal? Because I've read this verse hundreds of times, and I know that Jesus is the light of the world. In fact, many of you, even if you aren't a part of a church or aren't really frequent to reading the words of Jesus, I'm sure you saw a logo or something somewhere that said, yeah, Jesus is the light of the world. We all know that. We know these truths. Right? What I'm asking you to do today is accept these truths. And the takeaway today really came to me when I read Acts chapter 26, verse number 18. It says, to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness for the forgiveness of sins, an inheritance among which are sanctified by faith in me. You know what that verse is reiterating? It was reiterating what Jesus said in John 12:46. I am the light. I am come a light into the world. Whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. You see, we don't look to Jesus as just one of the ways. We look to Jesus as the way. He is the light. He is the only source of light that can come into your heart and can change you. And friend, let me just tell you something right here. Jesus is not the one that's coming to condemn you today. There will be a condemnation that will come. But my friend, right now, in this moment, Jesus is offering himself to you. He is love to the lonely. He is grace to the guilty. He is a mercy to the merciless. He is light to the darkness. He is the one that will give you love when everyone else has walked out the door. Friend, Jesus is calling to you, asking you, will you allow me to be the light of your world? I don't know if God really just wanted you guys to get this or what, but I'm studying for this message. You know, Monday, I'm like, okay, I'm excited about it. Tuesday, I'm like, okay, you know, we have this, you know, small group that we have going on, you know, and the small group is discussing the message that's coming up the next week. So this Wednesday, we'll discuss, you know, the fact that Jesus is the life. And so I'm sitting there, and we're working on it. And Wednesday morning, I get up, and boom, our power's out. It started raining, you know, and I'm like, oh, it'll come up in a few minutes. And Wednesday afternoon, power's still out. Wednesday night, we come home from Bible study, power's still out. Now, all of you probably had power, right? Okay? My house didn't. My neighborhood didn't. Okay? This is where you feel bad for me. Okay? But here it is. And I'm sitting there, and we walk in, classic. Chandler's like, how come everything doesn't work? he's five. I'm like, well, you see, the power's not on. It just doesn't work. And so he's going over, and so he grabs his iPad, and, you know, he goes over, and he plugs it in, and he's like, it's not charging. I'm like, nothing works. There is no lights, you know? And then he's like, do the toilets work? I'm like, yes, the toilets work. You're good, okay? And so literally, we start lighting every candle we have. And, you know, Chandler, I felt like he was going to burn the house down. He's like running around the house with a candle. I'm like, give me that, you know. Finally, we get all in one room, you know, every candle we own. There's like 14 candles in this one room. Finally, we're good. Like, okay, great, you know. And so we finally all, you know, burn out the candles, go to sleep. Everything's good to go. And it's like 2:30 in the morning. And all of a sudden, it was like everything in the house turned on. I mean, dryers and, you know, alarms and bright as day in our house. I mean, it's like if you looked at my neighborhood, it would just be like, whoa, you know? And I mean, I remember sitting up and I'm like, are we under attack? Like at 2:30 in the morning, you're in such a deep sleep, like you can't even move, you know? And so Danielle has a much, you know, faster response time than me. And so she's up and she's like trying to turn everything off, you know, stumbling around. I'm like, oh my goodness, you know, the power's back on, you know? And I remember getting up the next day and you know, started, you know, continuing to think about this verse and think about this passage. And I remember thinking, you know what? The light that we had in our house, we had all the lights on, but none of them were connected. We had everything on, trying. Chandler was trying. No matter how many times you plug it in and out, it's still not going to work. And I'm just here to say, no matter how much you try to produce your own light on your own, it's still not going to work. And no matter how much you work so hard to understand, you still won't. And so here's the takeaway from today's message, and that is this. We must make, got the takeaway. We must, we'll get there. We must make Jesus the light of your world. And how do we do that, church? By making your world all about Jesus. Now, guys, Let me tell you, this is not just a fancy slogan, okay? This needs to be our mantra. We must make Jesus the light of our world. We must make our whole world centered around his light. Does that sound familiar to anything, to anyone? The fact that our whole world circles a giant light called the sun? The fact of the matter is, God has placed the universe around the sun to remind us that everything orbits the light. And if everything in our world, in our culture, in our lives, in our family does not orbit the light, everything else will go dark. And we will try to produce it, and we will buy energy, drinks, and everything else to get our generator, spiritual generator, cranking. You know, well, maybe if I try this, and if I try this class, and friend, you will go complete nuts trying to produce light on your own. But let me just tell you, Adam and Eve shorted the whole motherboard, and the whole world went dark. And the light's not coming on until you make Jesus the center. And friend, until that happens, everything else is going to be frustrated, dark, and completely void, and completely empty. And I'm here just to tell you that it gets so simple when you make Jesus the center, and everything else orbits, and everything else gets light. Not because of what you said, not because of what I said, because of what Jesus said. He said, I am the light. And if you follow me, you're not going to walk in darkness, but you will have the light of life.
Thanks again for listening. If you would like to learn more about our church or how to get connected, check us out online at findnewlife.church or find us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook under the handle Find New Life. Have an amazing day.